I apologize for the late start today. I was not on the schedule and got a last-minute call. A last-minute call, which is appropriate given the gospel reading that we have today. The Lord talks about not knowing the time of visitation. Visitation is an ominous word in Scripture. Visitation means the coming of one who delivers judgment, who brings about the end of the world. What the Lord prophesies here is the destruction of the Temple of Jerusalem by the Romans in 70 AD. It had been destroyed once before at the time of Jeremiah in the 6th century BC when the Babylonians came, but this time when the Romans would come, they would leave not a stone on a stone. And the historian Josephus says that 1 million bodies lay about the city unburied. That was the visitation that came down on them. And the Lord wept over the city. Dominus flavit. I've stood in the place where that took place during a pilgrimage this last February to look out across the valley at the place. It's a little place above where the Garden of Gethsemane is, and you look out across the Kidron Valley, and there you can see the Temple Mount and all of Jerusalem laid before you. And the Lord wept. My dear friends, the Lord is still weeping. Now, how might that be, you could wonder? The Lord is gloriously risen. The Lord can no longer suffer. One of the marks of the risen body, the glory that we hope to rise to, is impassibility. There can be no more suffering in heaven. The Lord doesn't suffer. He can't suffer any of the pains that he suffered in this earthly life for us. How does the Lord suffer now? He suffers in every sacrilegious act, especially those abuses of the Blessed Sacrament. And he doesn't suffer them passively like we do. When suffering or something is inflicted on us, we suffer it in a passive way. We receive the whatever it is that's coming and passively resuffer it. The Lord instead actively takes the suffering, continuing to renew his sacrifice to the Father. Abuses of the Blessed Sacrament cause our Lord sorrow. They cause him pain. And we've had decades and decades and decades of abuse of the Eucharist. In churches far and wide, people have been trooping up to Holy Communion without having darkened the door of a confessional for who knows how long. And every sacrilegious reception of Holy Communion is like a body blow against the church. One of the things, ironically, and it's a terrible thing to say, one of the things, ironically, that has come about as a result of this virus thing and the closure of churches is that there are millions and millions fewer sacrilegious communions every Sunday. It's an awful way to look at it, but it's also true. It's a wake-up moment. Paul talks about what happened to the people when they fell into idolatry. In the golden calf episode, he said the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to dance. Well, this is that's euphemistic language for the idolatrous orgy and so forth that the people had. And made the golden calf. And that's when the Lord stripped the priesthood from all males of the Israelites and conferred it on one group, who then were told by Moses to go through the people and slay everyone who was involved in it. The first ordination to that priesthood was a bloodbath. That's how serious idolatry is. When people grumbled and began to place their own needs and so forth on the throne that only God should have been sitting upon in their murmuring. I like that. I always like that. That word, they murmured against God. They grumbled against God. And what happened? He sent a plague. He sent serpents. And another time, there was literally another plague. 23,000 men in one day, and that doesn't count women and children. Idolatry is really serious sin. In our own time, we have seen the rise of terrible idolatry, even in very high places in the church. I will never, as long as I live, forget the sight of pagan worship in the Vatican Gardens being offered to a demon figure from South America, and then the placing of a ritual bowl as part of that cult on the altar of St. Peter's Basilica. And we wonder why there are plagues today. This is a wake-up call to all of us. Now, just recently, Bishop Athanasius Schneider is a very fine scholar. He's a wonderful bishop. He's a gentleman. I count him as a friend. He more than any other bishop in the world, I think, has been talking about abuses of the Blessed Sacrament, irreverence toward the Eucharist. As long ago as 2005, when he was a member of the Synod of Bishops that gathered to discuss the Eucharist, he had with him his manuscript for a little book that would be a game changer, a very important little book called Dominus Est, It is the Lord. And it is a powerful argument in favor of proper reception of Holy Communion, that is, kneeling humbly and receiving Holy Communion directly on the tongue. If there's anything that's been under attack during this demon plague that we're dealing with right now, it's been communion on the tongue, isn't it? Coincidence? I think not. Bishop Schneider recently has called for a crusade for reparation for irreverence toward the Eucharist. A crusade of reparation. He goes very carefully through, for example, what Our Lady told the children at Fatima, and then other messages from the Lord to Sister Lucy after that. He has wonderful quotes from saints about the Eucharist, the meaning of the Eucharist, and theologians about what it is for the Lord to suffer because of sacrilegious acts against the Eucharist. And he builds a powerful argument about how Holy Communion should be received. And he asks us to start a kind of a crusade, a crusade of reparation, acts of reparation. Now, in a community like this, you are receiving the Blessed Sacrament in a reverent manner. I hope you will always continue to do so, and to do so reverently in a very thoughtful way. By the way, if I have a little cough right now, I don't have COVID. I sucked in a lung of incense, which isn't really great in the morning, you know. So, this crusade of reparation must be undertaken by those who get it first. You, my dear friends, get it. Now, to those to whom more has been given, more is expected. There are a lot of people out there who, through absolutely no fault of their own, really don't know how to treat the Eucharist, because they probably haven't seen a reverent Mass in their lives. They had lousy catechesis, and week after week, they see how the priest himself treats the Eucharist with great, you know, very casually, with all sorts of people trooping around and doing who knows what, with the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Savior. It's not their fault, most of them. It isn't. It really isn't. The cry of the Lord from the cross, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do," applies to all of us who should look on these people with patience and compassion. And we must make reparation for what they do and with what and for what they do not do. You have been given a great grace. You know, there are people out there who would chew off their left arm to be able to have something like this available every week. I hear it from all over the world. How can we get that? We have to drive for hours. We can't do it. How can we get it? We bring it up and our priests, it's like they hate us for asking. People would chew off their arm to have what you have. Never take it for granted. And if you love what you have, you will try to share it with everybody that you know and love out of charity for them. And as your spiritual foundation to protect and defend and to console our Eucharistic Lord, begin to make acts of reparation for how our Lord is treated all over the world. Taking upon yourself penances, saying prayers. Bishop Schneider, at his website, just yesterday, I made an audio podcast where I read his entire essay about this. And there's a link, it's on the on my blog, I'm sure you know where you can find it, I don't have to tell you. And I have a link there, and Bishop Schneider has actually also posted a prayer, a very beautiful prayer, an act of reparation. We need to take on ourselves penances and perform acts of reparation to console our Eucharistic Lord, and also to ask for forgiveness. This has to be a foundation for our going forward. There are more components of this, of what's going on in society, than just the physical or the earthly things. There is also a demonic component, which I think I'm convinced is the flip side to this virus thing. This is a time of waking up to our true situation. The Lord wept over Jerusalem because they did not know the time of their visitation. Even though they had been sent prophets, even though they had the scriptures, even though they had prophecies about the Lord's coming, and they treated the prophets in this way and that way, and the Lord himself, they sought to destroy him. Like Jeremiah, he went into the temple and he quotes Jeremiah, who had predicted the, the Babylonian destruction of the temple, and here comes the Lord and starts and says the same thing, and symbolically overthrows the temple by overthrowing the tables of the people that had set things up to sell things. Why? Because they had overtaken the courtyard of the Gentiles, so that when the Gentiles came to the temple to pray to the one true God, they had nowhere to pray. And one of the signs of the coming of the Messiah is that the Gentiles would come to recognize the true God. You remember just before his passion, the disciples, the apostles, came to him and said, "There are Gentiles here who want to talk to you." And the Lord recognize this, it's the sign, now it begins. We are given sign after sign after sign, like our ancient forebears were given. You look around in society and you see what's going on. My friends, we are being given sign after sign after sign. A crusade of reparation. I urge you all to look up the magnificent proposal of Bishop Schneider. Remember that to those whom much is given, much is required. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.